tonight. This is Chodesh Adar. Well, as everybody knows, Mishnah that says, "Shenichnas Adar Marvin Besimcha." It's very interesting that the Mishnah says, "Shenichnas Av Mematim Besimcha." Shenichnas Adar Marvin Besimcha. Shenichnas Av Mematim Besimcha is brought in Shulchan Aruch. Shenichnas Adar Marvin Besimcha is not brought in Shulchan Aruch. So that's despite the well-known chiyuv everyone has, shenichnas adar marvin besimcha, it's not clear that it means anything lemaisa. Number one, and since we're approaching Purim, it's important to focus on what Simchas Purim means. Why Simchas Purim? And what the whole story of Purim really is all about. Of course, in typical Israeli Zionistic twisting of the Torah to fit everything that's anti-Torah. If you go now to the old Tachanat HaRakevet, the old train station, have a big rock concert called Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Besimcha. Purim is a very strange Megillah, very strange holiday. It begins with a story of a wild Suda. It's the Suda of Achashverosh, who molech mehodu v'ad kush. A tremendous empire. As Chazal said, that a tremendous empire, But he was so insecure that if his wife didn't listen to him, he wasn't even molech in his own home. Shevi Esam Mea Medina. Shna Sholosh Lamolcho, he made a mishta. So Rashi says, Senu Pershu Binyan Acher B'Mesachta Megillah. What does the Gemara Megillah say? The Churban Beis HaMikdash. People today don't understand what the Churban Beis HaMikdash meant in the ancient world. Churban Beis HaMikdash was a major event, because you had all the major powers then, Mitzrayim, Ashur, Bavel, and they knew, on the one hand, they wanted to show the military prowess and power. Sancheiriv had come and tried to capture. And in one night, everything was all over. Yad Hashem. So Nebuchadnezzar came to destroy. The question is, who was destroying the Beis HaMikdash? Because the Nevi'im had been saying the reason it was going to be a Churban Beis HaMikdash was fact that Klal Yisrael Oved Avodah Zarah, they had forgotten the Torah and the like. On the other hand, Nebuchadnezzar would like to know that it was he who conquered Yerushalayim and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And just why did they have to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Because they realized it was a fight between them and an ideal the Klal Yisrael was supposed to represent that didn't represent. The Beis HaMikdash represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As much as Klal Yisrael were worshiping Avodah Zarah, Beis HaMikdash represented an ideal. There's one God who gives the Torah. Klal Yisrael is supposed to represent that idea. And it was a battle between Nebuchadnezzar. Who's running the world? Nebuchadnezzar is running the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. Because on the one hand, Nebuchadnezzar thought his army was powerful, but he knew the Nevi'im had been talking about a Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So maybe it was HaKadosh Baruch. But he knew there was a Nevuah of 70 years. And it wasn't clear how to calculate that Nevuah. From what point on the 70 years were to be able to be counted. So Belshazzar counted the 70 years one way. And when the 70 years was over, he made a big feast. And that night of the feast, on the walls of the palace there where the feast was happening, all of a sudden some letters appeared. And they got frightened. And that night, Belshazzar died. Now, the human being has an infinite ability to give explanations, no matter how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making a statement. They interpret it to what they want. We've talked about that many times. So then, not that everyone was shaken up, but they kept going. Maybe yes, who knows? Ahasuerus, Belshazzar's son-in-law, made a different cheshbon. And he made the cheshbon that the 70 years were over. If the 70 years were over, so then it means he's ruling the world. There's no competition from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Jews aren't going back. And the armies of Bavel and Paras and Madai and Asher have destroyed HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyoch. They made a tremendous feast. Tremendous feast that night. And in order to show that they had destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and he viewed himself as the Yoresh Nebuchadnezzar, and that they had really won the battle, he did something that no one dared do until then. He took the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash out and used them for everyone to get drunk that night in his suda. Now, Jews could have one of two reactions. Depends on the mentality of the Jews. The Jews could have a reaction, absolute avelus, the chilul of the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, and mourning that maybe the cheshbon is right and the Beis HaMikdash wouldn't come back and they wouldn't go back to Eretz Yisrael, or they were so crazily desperate to be accepted by the goyim that they joined the feast. Now the Gemara Megillah tells us that Mordechai was pleading with them, don't go. So, no hope. So what did Mordechai do? So the Gemara Megillah tells us that Ahasuerus, if he wanted all the Sarim from all over his 127 provinces to come together, the way they eat in Paras and the way they eat in Egypt and the way they eat here, it's different. So everyone had their own kitchen to make the food that they were used to. And the Jews had this Glag Tosha kitchen there, and who was the Rav Amar Shem Mordechai himself. Mordechai said, if they're going, I have to make sure the Chol HaPorchos they keep kosher. So what do you have? Looking now in perspective, it's almost unimaginable. You had Ahasuerus celebrating the fact that he had conquered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Jews were not going back. The Beit HaMikdash is charev, never to be rebuilt. And their victory. And he invites the Jews to participate. Now, every self-respecting Jew should be turned off. But here's their chance to participate. 187 days of crazy drinking and eating nonstop. It's a whole lifestyle of the royal court. Come into my royal court and see what the disgusting lifestyle of the royal court is all about. 187 days of nonstop drinking, food, alcohol, snus, everything. The antithesis of everything the Torah stands for. And they went. They were so desperate, Jews are so desperate to be just like Goyim, they lose their entire self-respect. But it's not only that. V'hashkolos b'chay zohov v'chelim michelim shonim. Says Rashi, Rabbi Zainu Dorshu, Marsha Dorshu. What did Chazal say? They would drink, Jews were drinking, and everyone was drinking from the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, how does any self-respecting Jew do that? The answer is very simple. First, you're attracted to a lifestyle that's an absolute violation of every concept of Kedushas HaAdam. We're supposed to live a life, Kadoshim Tiyu, to be an uplifted people. And you see that, you say, we have no place there. That's just the opposite of what we're all about. But if you lose your sense of Kedushas HaAdam, Kedoshim Tiyu, of living an uplifted life, and you just want to be like the Goyim in the low of the low of the low, you have no sense of Kedusha, so the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. I can even give a shir explaining why it's Al Pi Din Mutter, okay? Bo Priest and V'chilulu. You can twist anything you want. But forget Bo, yes, Bo Priest and V'chilulu. It does apply to Kli Shavuos, doesn't apply to Kli Shavuos. Forget that. Where is the self-respecting Jew? The answer is the Jews don't have any self-respect. That happened. That's what happens. When Jews forget who and what they are, they're supposed to lead a different lifestyle. Now, Gam Vashti Amalkos Mishtenoshim. Now, why was Ahasuerus king? He was a poor stable boy. Belshazzar's daughter fell in love with him. So now he became king. His whole being king is because of Vashti. And his whole ruling 127 provinces is because of Vashti. Vashti doesn't do what he wants. Get rid of Vashti. Why? Very simple. If you have the concept of any sense of decency, any sense of hakoras hatov, you think one dog against another dog will remember that 5 minutes ago something happen? No. You do what you need at the moment. If you live like an animal, there's no morality. There's no, every human being is being used. See, there are two groups of human beings in the Megillah. There's Achashverosh, Vashti, Haman, Zeresh, and everyone's using everybody else. No one cares about it, everyone else. It's me, me, and me. Because that's the difference. If you view yourself as a neshama, you see the other person as a neshama. View yourself as an animal. So who's the other person? I'm a wild animal. He's a wild animal. And two wild animals attack each other and tear each other to pieces. All they want is their own self-interest. And that's all these relationships, the self-interest. What does Memuchan say? Achashverosh doesn't hear the deep lesson Memuchan said. Lo al ha-melech levado ov sovashti ha-malko. Kol ha-sorim v'al kol ha-amim asher b'chol medinos ha-melech Achashverosh. Yetzid v'amalcho ha-malko al kol ha-noshim. Says, everyone's wife is going to stand up to their husband. The Hainu Zeresh is going to stand up to me. Why do you kill Vashti? Because I'm afraid of my wife. And if I'm afraid of my wife and I tell you to get rid of your wife, maybe my wife will be afraid of me. Everyone's using everybody else. Achashverosh, he sees that Vashti is standing up to him. But he's insecure because what of all the royal advisors who know that his whole kingdom is based on Vashti going to say? So what does Haman say? And what does Achashverosh hear? Haman says, you better get rid of Vashti, otherwise Zeresh is going to take over my house. Achashverosh hears, I don't have to worry about all my royal advisors. I can get rid of Vashti because I have to rule my own house. Everyone says something else because everyone's looking at themselves. Do you think Achashverosh really cared if all the women throughout 127 provinces are going to rule their husbands? Couldn't care less. But what did he care that he got to have Vashti ruling him? That's all he... I can get away with it? Why? Because he wasn't sure until then he could get away with it. And then we hear about a different relationship. Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Abiro. Shmo Mordechai, Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Ishimini. He was in the Sanhedrin. Vahi omenes hadaso yeste bazdodo kein lo vein. What's the relationship between Mordechai and Esther? She was a Yisoma. He had to bring her up. Well, he's very chashiv. He's in the Sanhedrin. Those are the people who went into the Golos. Yechonya Melech Yehuda. No. But there's chesed in this world. You don't use people. You're concerned about people. There's a difference between Kedoshim Tiyu and being an animal. Being an animal, eating and drinking nonstop, 187 days, food, alcohol, snus, 187 days. What are you thinking about? Me, 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 and me. Taifa, taifa, taifa. Me, 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 me. Vashti, get rid of her. It's no good for me. And the me is Achashverosh Haman. Everyone's thinking about me. No sense, there's a whole different way of approaching life. Whole different way of approaching life. That's Mordechai. Mordechai. Vahi omenes hadasa. That's the Shalom Aleichem. Who is Mordechai? Shehoglim Yerushalayim. He's on the Sanhedrin. Only Gdolei Talmidei Chacham went into that goal. And now, what did he have to do? He's very busy. No. There's a Yesena. He has to take care of her. Has to bring her up. Rashi says, "Abazenu Pirshu Labayas the Isha." He took care of her. Why did he marry her? Well, all the other marriages here are dependent on Snus and Taiv, etc. You know, all of a sudden, Chesed, Chesed, and Chesed. The balance, the difference, is overwhelming. And it tells us something more than that. And she was absolutely beautiful. Didn't say he married her, she was beautiful. Because she had no one to take care of her, so he married her. We'll go further next week through the Megillah. The Megillah is a story on many, many levels. Many levels. But it's telling us also a very important thing. It's a Jewish lifestyle and a non-Jewish lifestyle. There's a Torah lifestyle and a non-Torah lifestyle. And when Jews forget about a Torah lifestyle, they adopt a non-Jewish lifestyle, they lose every sense of sensitivity to Kedusha. They lose every sense of self-respect. And if they see Goyim acting like a bunch of animals, what do they have to do? They have to act like a bunch of animals. We live in very hard times. We live in very hard times. We live in times that because of the availability of the media to us, we get so pulled in to the whole mentality of the Western world that the whole way of acting and thinking of approaching life and approaching people becomes totally distorted. And really, a simple divide. And a simple divide, how we approach life. There was a Beis HaMikdash. When there's a Beis HaMikdash, it was a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Shochein in Klal Yisrael. He's with us. When there's a Beis HaMikdash, something reminds us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be part of our lives. The Ramban says at the beginning of Parshas Truma, what's the purpose of Beis HaMikdash? That just like the Shechina was shown in Klal Yisrael and Har Sinai, and they fell to his carvers to the Shechina, so too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Klal Yisrael to feel that same his carvers even afterwards. And there's a Mishkan, there's a Beis HaMikdash, Hashuras HaShechina. And people felt some sort of spirituality that existed in the world. Avodah Zarah was very attractive. It says we can take that spirituality and look at the spirituality in this world, not the spirituality outside of this world. And there's no stira between the spirituality in this world and a lifestyle that's a total Magushim lifestyle. That's what Chazal say. It's full of snus. If you go to a lot of the Avodah Zarahs that still exist today, it's so tied in with snus, it's all one. Chazal Yisrael says, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. You are in Neshama. Remember who and what you are. You're a neshama, and your goof is there to serve your neshama. The goof is not the be-all and the end-all. The physical world is not the be-all and the end-all of existence. that was 2,300, 2,400 years ago, 2,500 years ago. 2,400 years ago in there, and it's today too. And very often we have to stop and ask ourselves in a regular way, because it doesn't only affect one aspect of life, except everything. It affects the way you relate to people, the way you deal with people, as we see from the Megillah, the way you relate to yourself, the way you relate to Torah, relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea of science, some people worship, is to try to show that the physical world can explain itself. And it never can, and they're always about to be there, and then they find out, make new discoveries, it doesn't. There's no such thing as a physical world without a spiritual world in the back of it. That's the yesod of the Torah. There's no such thing as a human being who's just an animal. You can try to act like an animal. But Chal Yisrael's goal is to say, we're not a bunch of animals. That's why Mishinichnas Adam Arben Basimcha, have some stupidity of having some sort of crazy rock concert. It's so, and I can guarantee you, there must be not only 1,000 yarmulkes there, I'm sure a lot of yeshiva brachim are there too. Why? Same thing. People just lose balance. What the Torah is about, what the human being is about, what the Jewish people about. They lose total balance. You get so pulled up into a way of thinking, a way of relating to people. Purim is an incredible day. Because as much as you want to like act like animals, and people hate the Jews because the Jews do represent a different idea, and the more they wanted to become like the Goyim, the more the Goyim wanted to destroy them. And then one day, Klal Yisrael woke up. The Hodiah. Rambam says, what's the purpose of Purim? Show us the Koach HaTfilah. You think the whole world is just a physical world, physical pleasure and physical power and physical manipulation? No. That's not what runs the world. It's not what runs the world. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu just switches it around. That one night, Achashverosh could sleep and everything went just the opposite. Yisroel will play with the world to show he runs the world. And the world is not just a physical place. He's running it. And how whether we're going to survive and not going to survive doesn't depend on anything above except HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'yatzim. And the moment we realize that, how does the Megillah end? Spend more time on it. Megillah ends. Klal Yisrael make a su'uda. And there's something very different about this su'uda. Matonos levyonim, ish l'reyehu. It's a su'uda built on chesed. It's something built on chesed, not manipulation. Seeing another human being, caring about another human being. That's what Mordechai did when he married Esther Amalka. Because if you view yourself as a neshama, you view another person as a neshama. And if you view yourself as an animal, you couldn't care less about the next human being. You may need him, may be nice to him because you'll use him to manipulate him. Yes? That night, when Ahasuerus says, "Mi bechotzer?" Haman. Haman's thinking, "I'm going to make myself great." Ahasuerus thinking, "He's trying to take over." Each one seeing how he's manipulating the other one. And then back in Kodesh Baruch Hu's using this to tell the Jews, wake up. In today's world, we have to take this story of Megillas Esther. We'll go more deeply into it over the next 2 weeks. It's a very deep story that we have to learn deeply and apply to our lives. We talk about people having all their electronic devices. Really, the people who make these electronic devices are laughing at the rest of humanity all the way to the bank. Jew married to a non-Jew, Mark Zuckerberg, who invented Facebook, made billions. But he won't let his kids touch it. It'll destroy them. He understands the power of it. One who invented the iPhone, Steve Jobs, is now in the Olamemus, if at all. So, wouldn't let his kids touch him. Wouldn't let his family have involved with it. Very powerful. But for us, what is the power? People think, well, it's a filtered schmutz. Nah, that's only part of the problem. The problem is, what's grabbing your mind? Your mind is somewhere else. Your mind, how do you relate to people? Someone was telling me, a certain yeshiva, they went on a tiyul. They used to have a problem. When they went on tiyul, it was a noise. Everyone was talking with each other. Now, there's no one talking to anybody. But all of a sudden, everyone burst out laughing. What happened? Everyone was busy with their machines, and someone sent a joke, and everyone saw the joke and began laughing all together. They couldn't relate. They can't relate to another human being. People have to pull themselves back and see, no, what's grabbing your mind? And when it grabs your mind, it's a whole way of relating to people. It's a whole culture that you become part of. The Jews could be there 187 days. Hashem Yirachem. I'm sure they had a special era so they could carry there on Shabbos too. And that's why they could drink from the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. They so lost any self-respect, any sensitivity to Kedusha. Then nothing was left. But they made sure it was super kosher food and everything. That's why when you look at yourself and look at the lifestyle around you, the story of Megillah is a very powerful story. It's not only for 2,400 years ago, there in Shushan HaBira. It's for today. We'll continue to talk about it.